From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
Well, we'll start off today's show with Philip Huffelt, the founder of Snow Riders International, and Julian Carr, professional skier, business owner, and environmental advocate. He spends most of his life in the mountains and acts as an ambassador for Snow Riders International, the Climate Reality Project, and Protect Our Winters. We'll be talking about Snow Riders' new campaign, Powder, Not Power Plants.
And then in the second half of the show, Bryn Carey joins us. He is the owner of Ski Butlers here in town and has just returned from Climate Reality Training, an intensive multi-day course offered by the Climate Reality Project.
We'll speak with Bryn about the training, what he learned from it, and how he'll employ his climate education in both his personal and professional life.
All of that and some news about the EPA's announcement to reduce atmospheric ozone concentrations from 75 down to 65 parts per billion. What does that mean to the environment and our economy?
You can join in on today's conversation with both of our guests by posting to our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth, or emailing us at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Our connections with and impacts upon the environment. That's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay with us.
This is Sean Railton. I'm an agent with Park City Realty Group. I'm a 30-year Park City resident and a KPCW underwriter. I have been involved in the Park City real estate market since 1994 as an agent, an appraiser, and an investor. I can be reached at 649-1991 or sean@parkcityrealtygroup.com.
This is Steve Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties, formerly Prudential Utah. We continue to be proud supporters of KPCW and are excited to embark on the next era of Park City real estate under our new brand. More info at bhhsutah.com.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, and that's Chris Cherniak across the board as usual. And during the first half of the show today, we're going to be talking about Snow Riders International. And so to do that is the organization's founder, Philip Huffelt. And he's on the phone with us. And then in the studio, we have Julian Carr, a professional athlete that works with the organization. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
So, Philip, we're going to start with you. Why don't you tell us about... when you founded the organization and why, and what you guys are working on now?
Well, great question. And thanks for having us. So I honestly can't take credit for founding the organization, but but I did join to run it. So it was founded in 2010 when a couple of very passionate skiers and snowboarders were sitting on a chairlift talking about what they could do to fight the environmental issues that were threatening winter sports and mountain communities. And so they decided to found the organization. And our mission is to promote winter sports and protect the environment through service, research, education, and advocacy. So that's how we got started.
Fantastic. And then, Julian, you're an athlete that represents this group. So tell us a little bit about your role.
Well, it's pretty cool for me because, like he said, it's about, for me, I think it's me trying to be as vocal as I can be for the issues that they like to put their energy into, because the more awareness and the more conversations that we can have, I think is really like the most important thing. I think, trying to live a life that's sustainable is obviously a pursuit and things that we all care about, and obviously there's just much bigger topics to change in infrastructure that's really the problem. So it's cool to have people like this that are obviously ingrained in the snow world that completely relate to my life. And it's, you know, an honor for me to be a spokesman and an ambassador for, you know, the general scheme population at large.
So we saw that the new campaign you guys are working on is called Powder, Not Power Plant. So Philip, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure thing. So we didn't always focus on climate change as, you know, our number one issue. We started off with a campaign called Less Drive, More Ride, which is all about connecting people and increasing carpooling to the mountains and sustainable transportation. But, you know, as we moved kind of forward in with Snowriders International, we started to really notice how climate change was affecting winter sports and mountain communities. And, you know, currently climate change is leading to shorter winters, shorter ski seasons. We're seeing winters, according to the, you know, International Panel on Climate Change, that winters are now 20 days shorter than they were in the 1970s, and they're only getting shorter by 5 days per decade. And so, you know, it truly is one of the, if not the number one issue facing our communities and our, you know, things that we love, like skiing and snowboarding. And so we decided to focus on it, and then in doing that, noticed that, you know, power plants account for 40% of the carbon pollution contributing to climate change. And so, you know, it kind of came about in a discussion that we should do that. And we noticed also that the EPA was, the Environmental Protection Agency, was beginning to do something about it with their clean power plan that they proposed back in 2013. And so the name Powder, Not Power Plants came about in support of those efforts. And the campaign itself is all about skiers and snowboarders and mountain recreation enthusiasts behind that to, you know, sign petition signatures, and also with our two coalition letters that we did recently turned into the Environmental Protection Agency with over 115 ski areas, professional athletes like Julian, who's here today with us, and local businesses, local government officials, and organizations. So we're pretty happy with the turnout to really show a widespread, deep support for this initiative and what the EPA is doing, which is pretty monumental when it comes to action on climate change in this country.
Okay, so sounds like there's advocacy, there's education going on, and then there's action. What is it that you're telling skiers and snowboarders and alpine enthusiasts to do to reduce their carbon footprint?
Great question. You know, again, this really is focused on the largest source of carbon pollution, which is power plants, but, you know, we can also reduce our own carbon footprints, which is very important to, you know, really making an impact. So, you know, whenever you're going to the slopes, carpooling, whenever you're at the resorts, really asking them about, you know, their own carbon footprint, you know, looking at the energy that they produce, or the energy they need, where it's coming from. So, you know, renewable energy. But really just carpooling, making sure that your homes are energy efficient, all of those things, I think, are really great ways to reduce our carbon footprint.
Well, I have one that's maybe even a little larger than that, that asks of maybe a little bigger sacrifice. Let's be fair. Let's be honest. Alpine recreation, skiing, snowboarding, et cetera, is a very carbon-intensive activity. The majority of people that come here to Park City travel here. The majority of that travel is in the form of flying, and then they rent a car, and it's usually going to be a large vehicle that probably has, you know, lower gas mileage than normal. They come here, they consume electricity, natural gas, and then all of those chairs are powered by electricity, which comes from here in Utah, at least 80% of that is from burning coal. So it's a really carbon intensive activity. Would you agree with that first?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So have you guys thought about, like, maybe maybe instead of 4 or 5 trips, maybe instead of 150 days on the mountain, you know what, maybe I'll only do 130 days. And really actually just reducing your consumption totally, instead of just carpooling or trying to be, you know, trying to be more efficient, how about just doing less? Is that an option?
That's hard for me to answer because I always want to ski more. But obviously, I'm lucky to have the option to go do backcountry skiing, where, you know, I can leave a less carbon footprint because I can carpool to the trailhead and take my own body energy up the mountain. But as you said, most people that ski, especially in Park City, they're flying here.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they can do something else some other days, which is fine. I'm okay with that. Then that just brings into play that, you know, it's not just winters that are in danger and things like that. It's businesses, you know, like there's millions of winter businesses. So that's, you know, trying to be more content and be more conservative also threatens lots of jobs. So it's very delicate.
There is that balance. And that's why we always talk about look, this proposed ozone rule. And like you were saying, Phil, the proposed EPA regulations on carbon emissions from power plants, those have an economic impact too. And so there's always that balance going on. We need to protect the environment, protect our atmosphere, let's say, and our climate. But at the same time, jobs are at stake.
Sure.
So
I wish I knew more about this, but I do know there's at least one resort in Colorado, and I'm sorry I'm so vague on this, but they have pretty big initiative to have the majority of their power being neutral. Do you guys know anything about this resort?
No, but
it's pretty amazing. Yeah, they use some turbines from like a local river. They have tons of solar, and so I mean, I think we got to lean on mountains to learn from this model and to pursue these things. Because you know, I think that's always the thing that's happening right now is that as a person, there's only so much you can do when you're at the mercy of the infrastructure. So, I mean, we always need to lean on the people that have the ability to change infrastructure. And that's the key ingredient, I believe. That's the key thing we need to put our energy into.
Okay.
Well, I think that's a great point because we don't want to encourage people to stop doing, you know, the things they love, but we want to do it in a better way, probably.
We don't.
Right? Chris does, let me clarify.
Yes, I want us all to sit at home in stunned silence because that's what I usually do.
Watching CNN, C-SPAN.
C-SPAN. No, go ahead, Phil.
And this is Phil. So, you know, we definitely need to set, you know, a good example and live responsibly and all of that. And no doubt that, you know, everything we do has some sort of carbon impact, but you know, in terms of the jobs, we definitely need to build an energy economy that, you know, protects our environment and sustains our children's future. And preventing the worst impacts of global warming will mean investing in more clean energy with projects like windmills and the turbines that Julian's talking about. And you know, Copper Mountain is one of those resorts that has started producing more of their energy from windmills and. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it's important to set a good example as individuals and as businesses and in industry. And I think in general, winter sports industry does recognize that this seems to be, and it's just my perspective on it, but, you know, I feel that the winter sports industry gets, in large, gets that this is an issue and is starting to take action on it, especially, you know, with, as you can see in our coalition campaign for that. Part of this. So,
So I want to kind of turn back to some of the political action that you guys have taken recently and talk a little bit about your trip to the EPA regional offices in Denver. So tell us what the goal of that was and how that went.
Oh, sure. Yeah, thank you. So we went out on, I believe it was Thursday, Thursday the 20th, and we set up in front of the Environmental Protection Agency to release our letters and had a little news conference. And Julian was there, Arapahoe Basin ski area was there, as well as a local ski shop in Denver, Confluence Kayak and Ski, and also several skiers and snowboarders who were very passionate about it who came out and were waving signs. And so it was really to draw some attention to this issue to make sure that the EPA really understood that we, you know, this coalition supports their efforts to create the Clean Power Plan and to make the Clean Power Plan as strong as possible. And so we handed over the letters in the news conference, and then later in the day met with the regional office there. Julian joined us, Arapahoe Basin joined us, and we talked about, you know, what it means to have this Clean Power Plan, what it means for winter sports, and how it was going to be implemented, and all of that. And it was a really, really meaningful and powerful conversation. And I think there were some great questions answered. You know, Julian had some great questions. Maybe Julian wants to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, it was just quite a treat. And for me, I mean, it's a proposal. Like these bands are a proposal. You know, I think of the energy that and mm-hmm. the attention that the topic received was great. I think a lot of people, you know, needed to take a step back though and realize like these are just proposals. So it was cool to be there and to have Philip and his team put together basically this big waving flag of like, hey, we really support these. And we need to turn this into action. You know, it just can't be a proposal. So, like you said, it was to us to show support of what they're up to. And it's pretty cool the way that I was impressed with the policymakers that we sat down with, and just heard the likelihood of it passing is very, very, very high. They all expect it to go through, which is amazing. And the resulting money that's going to be poured in from these energy companies into finding alternatives is also very likely. And they all are talking about little glimpses of stuff they're already seeing, which is very exciting. And, you know, it was interesting because I was like, well, they said it's state by state for kind of the plan of action for how they can, I don't know, channel their energies to what they're going to accomplish on these alternate energy solutions. And so I was like, well, why don't you guys incentivize a plan that's backed up by like the world's best scientists, so we have like a concrete, unified infrastructure change, so that every energy company, every state is putting energy into the same idea of infrastructure. Because I've blown away that we still run off of 130-year-old power lines that were invented in the 1890s by Tesla and Edison. You know, it's because, you know, that infrastructure is still in place. And so if we have 50 states doing all kinds of neat things, that's great. But I feel like it really needs to be like a unified infrastructure change that's incentivized. So these energy companies are getting awarded, not just penalized if they're not down on carbon, but actually getting awarded for doing more and more in the other direction. And, you know, they said right. that's likely to happen once they start having the results from this carbon cap, you know. But then there's like already things that are in place that a lot of companies owe millions and millions of dollars in fines, of which aren't being paid anyway. So it's tough, you know. It's like a win, but at the same time, it's like carbon is the problem. It needs to be replaced. So it's like a solution within a problem. But it's cool and exciting that it's going to result in new technologies. It would just be nice if there's like a unified infrastructure that could be incentivized.
So if you are just joining us, we're speaking with a few representatives of Snow Riders International, including Philip Huffelt and professional athlete Julian Carr. And Philip, if you would just talk, so a lot of these efforts, it sounds like, have focused on supporting the Clean Power Plan that the EPA has out. And would you just give us kind of the thumbnail sketch of what that Clean Power Plan is, how it works?
Well, good question. So as far as I understand it, you know, it's a couple of rules, one that will affect new power plants built after the rule takes effect. And then the second rule will also affect existing power plants that are already in place and already functioning. And it sets a standard, a cap for carbon emissions so that, you know, power plants can't exceed a certain amount of emissions. And that is how it plans to cut carbon pollution by 30% by 2030. And so, you know, it is one of the largest actions taken by any organization in U.S. history to combat climate change. And so, you know, it is a couple of rules that do affect power plants. And then the way it will be implemented is through state implementation plans. So each state will have a certain amount of flexibility to implement the plan itself and to make sure that they're meeting the requirements. And so, you know, I think the EPA took into account that each state is different and will have different approaches and will want to have some flexibility. And so that's how it will be implemented going forward.
So we have a few more minutes for just a couple more questions. And Julian, we just wanted to talk to you about, you know, why you're so involved with causes like this, not just Snow Riders, but also Climate Reality and Protect Our Winters and groups like that. What does it mean to you personally?
Personally, it's exciting to be... I just try to educate myself as much as possible because I believe that it's all things that can be accomplished. And I think that, you know, it really is like the biggest issue facing humanity. And it's like, this is our Mother Earth. You know, this is something that can't be treated in a just sit by and see what happens kind of role. So I just want to be as educated as I can and be part of that action group that's involved in the conversation of what's happening, and basically to learn as much as possible and contribute if and when I can. And just it's an honor really to have the opportunities to get involved with such amazing people like Philip and his group and Protect Our Winters and Climate Reality.
It seems like, from my point of view, there's definitely a growing movement coming from the snow sports community and the athletes that are in the public eye. Do you see that same thing happening?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, between just the winters going away and all the jobs that are at stake, it's all of a sudden becoming obviously apparent, like you said, when winters are 20 days shorter than the 70s. And already I already see way less snow down in the Salt Lake Valley where I live. That's just, it's so noticeable, you know? So it's sobering. Everything's very sobering.
And that's interesting. You mentioned that, Julian, because I'm looking at the weather report here for Park City in the next few days. This is the first week of December, and we're expecting precipitation starting tonight through the next couple of days. And right now, the forecast is all rain.
Oh, man, really?
And that does not happen here.
In December.
That's not supposed to happen here.
Yeah.
We remember a couple of years ago, we had a thunderstorm literally on December 2nd or December 3rd. We had a thunderstorm. And,
wow.
And now here it is
that
just a couple
happen,
years
right?
later, and it's... You know, it's a difference. We're seeing changes here by 2 or 3 degrees, and that's enough.
Sure.
In this case, that it's rain instead of snow.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing signs of it in our daily weather forecast.
Yeah. Well. Quickly, I did a 2-day educational program that I guess your next guest did with Climate Reality. I did that in Chicago, and they had amazing speakers from all over the world. One day. Spoke amazing stuff. Next day was Al Gore. He spoke for 8 hours. He had the two leading scientists on stage with him to clarify all data. And it was mind-blowing. Basically, by 2090, the average temperature in most of the United States and Europe is going to be, like, it's ridiculous. Like, almost like Death Valley conditions. And that is what is going to happen at the current rate. And so when you see that, it's nuts. So, like you said, just those few degrees make it go from a snowstorm to a rainstorm. So suddenly half the winters up here through like the 2050s, 70s, you know, in 30, 40 years, it's going to be half rain and half snow. Like
right.
That'll be normal. And that's when people are like, man, back in the early 2000s, we should have done a lot more.
I remember when, right.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, we'll give you the last word information on how people can learn more.
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much. I was hoping you would say that. So, you know, climate change and these types of issues can be pretty overwhelming sometimes. And you know, it's just so important take that first action and empower yourself to make a difference. So one of the ways you can do that is to go to our website, www.snowridersinternational.org, to sign up for the organization, become a supporter, join our email list, follow us on media, and we will give you actions to take as soon as they arise. You know, the comment period on the EPA Clean Power Plan just closed yesterday, but we will be giving you the next action to take coming soon. But, you know, stay tuned and keep up the good fight.
All right, Phil Huffelt and Julian Carr, both of Snow Riders International. We thank you for taking the time to join us on This Green Earth, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, Phil. Let's take a break for some underwriters. And we come back, we'll talk to a couple of folks who just attended the Climate Reality Project. It's This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
Rocky Mountain Power is proud to support KPCW and This Green Earth. Rocky Mountain Power offers cash incentives for energy-efficient appliances, cooling equipment, insulation, and other improvements for your home. More ways to save energy and money at wattsmart.com.
This is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local recycling and garbage services provider and a proud sponsor of KPCW. Summit County residents are recycling more and more, currently nearly 6 million pounds per year. Recycling helps keep Summit County clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues, concept sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. She's Nell Larson. Joining us in the studio is Jackie and Bryn Carey, among other things. They are owner-operators of Ski Butlers here in town. But more importantly, they just returned from climate reality training with the Climate Reality Project, Al Gore's Climate Reality Project that Julian had mentioned previously. And Bryn, you were on a couple months ago, literally a day or so before you left. And now you're back to tell us all about how the training went and what you learned.
Yeah, so it was amazing. The training was for 3 days, and I was down in Rio in Brazil. And it was really an amazing, empowering, inspiring 3 days to learn not only the science about our warming planet, but also to see that we have leadership and folks across the world that are worried about the changing climate and that are ready to step up and make a difference.
Well, one of the last kind of comments we were hearing from our last guest was that, you know, climate change, global warming can just seem overwhelming and discouraging and, you know, why do anything? So in this training, did you feel empowered? Do you feel positive leaving that? Or do you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders?
No, I personally came out of it so fired up and so ready to fight deniers and do something about it that the frustration is kind of left. Because before we went, yeah, there were these times where it was like, oh my gosh, this is one of those uphill battles. We're never going to win this. But after seeing Al Gore on stage and seeing 700 other people in one single room come together and fight this is such an empowering experience. Like, I feel like I can go and talk to anybody now.
Right. Right. Okay, well, we'll get into some of the details on what you learned. Well, who was in attendance? This is an international thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are only about 20 Americans. There are probably about 500 Brazilians.
All right, so more of a South American contingent.
Yeah. I think there's about 35 or 40 countries were there. So people from everywhere, Australia, Canada, Europe.
And this is offered every year or every other year?
I believe they're doing it 2 to 3 times a year now. Their next is in India, I believe. And then after that, I heard in September, they're going to do Miami here in the U.S. So if anyone's interested.
Okay. So we'll learn more about the website that you can go to learn more. Okay. So this is 3 days of training. Fair, from what I heard, it's pretty intensive.
Yeah.
This is like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. 6,000 slides and
death by PowerPoint.
Literally, I've seen the presentation. I mean, you go home with access to hundreds and hundreds of PowerPoint slides to present. Give presentations going forward, right? But what did you learn? Let me put it this way. What did you learn that you didn't know, some of those things?
Well, I think the fact that the past 13, 14 years have been the hottest on record. And, I knew it was getting warmer, but I didn't realize it was year after year, month after month. October was the hottest month, hottest October of all time. 2014's on tap to be the hottest year of all time. So it's not something in the future. It's already happening.
And it was important to realize that, sometimes you live in your own bubble, so you don't realize that it's the entire world. You think that it's just here, and then you start to realize it's everywhere. I mean, Sao Paulo, for example, is going through the worst drought they've ever experienced in history, and that's been going on since January, mm-hmm. with no relief in sight. And when you start to see these other people in these other countries and it's just not us anymore, it's everybody.
Right.
It's very eye-opening.
Right. And conversely, when you see record cold temperature outbreaks on the East Coast of the U.S., yeah. you also recognize that represents less than 0.5% of the Earth's surface. So, yes, there is cold weather out there. And yes, it's even record cold weather. Well, in New York and Washington, but that's not indicative of what else is going on around the planet.
Well, they talk a lot about the extremes where you are going to have a really cold day or a really hot day, but it's the fact that the streams are happening more often.
Yeah, and we talked to Jeff Masters last week at Weather Underground, and he said that right now less snow has fallen in Anchorage than in Asheville, North Carolina, so far this year. So these are the kind of crazy things going on with climate and the jet stream and weather. So, okay, so talk a little bit about that day with Al Gore. Apparently he comes on at 8 a.m. and then goes till...
I think he was there till 7 p.m. Holy cow, what a powerful and intelligent man.
Yeah.
I mean, you never get to see leaders like that standing there right there in front of you and talking about what means the most to them. And you never know. I mean, the face of any company, you just think, oh, well, maybe they're just a face. But then to see Al Gore up there and being so passionate, and I mean, he cares. This is something that he has put 120% of himself into. I mean, the man had traveled from, I don't even know what other part of of the country he had just come from talking to climate leaders. And he left just that day, that very evening, to go speak with other climate leaders. He's in Peru now trying to make a difference. So to see him on stage and to see his passion behind it is really something special.
Okay. So what are the goals of it? I mean, you're learning, A, about the science and the facts behind it, but were you learning about how you come back here and communicate that?
Yeah, so I think that is the beauty of being a climate leader is you come back and you have 10 acts of leadership. And it's not just me and Jackie that are going to have 10 acts of leadership. It's the 750 folks that were there or the 7,000 that he's trained over time. So it's really about... individuals in each community doing something about it and believing that they can create change. Because as you mentioned earlier, it is such a daunting task that if we think about it that way, that all of us in this room can't make a change, then we're never going to make a change. The other part of it is, they talk a lot about where the change has happened and cost of renewables are going down and there are very, very positive trends happening. And then I'd say the final part is the solution. Is how do we get to 100% renewable energy, and what is the game plan to get there? That's the end goal.
And do they speak about that being a possibility?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of the slides, probably about 100 of the 500 slides, were about renewables being used more and more, and the cost going down. And basically, when the cost for renewables is cheaper than oil, the oil companies are going to be in trouble, and people are going to be on an off-grid approach.
Well, and solar is on track currently to be a cheaper form of energy than fossil fuels by 2016. I mean, that's
Really?
That's an important fact.
I mean, although the price of oil today is under $80.
Yes, like, unfortunately.
We haven't seen that in 5 to 6 years. And that was unexpected, but these are the kind of things that can happen.
So tell us what inspired you to go to this training. What was the motivation to say, yeah, let's travel, you know, to Sao Paulo? And
I don't know. I initially didn't apply for the training. I thought, you know, I'm just an everyday, normal American woman. I didn't cure cancer. I don't own a company. I'm not a CEO. I'm not anything special. So why would they choose me? And then I really started to think about it. And I thought, you know, it's the me's of the world that when you get a bunch of us together, we're the loudest. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm gonna take this shot. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of what climate change has affected. One of my favorite reefs in Maui has been completely destroyed. And that's not only by us being out there as humans, but it's also by our warming climate. I think that's terrifying to see our beautiful reefs destroyed. You've seen, what is it, 1/3 of the world's species have died off because of climate change.
Really?
I mean, and I'm a huge animal fish lover.
Right.
So anytime I see the things in my world that I find beautiful and amazing being destroyed, it's like, well, maybe we should do something about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Jackie and Brian Carey, who have just returned from climate reality training, part of the Climate Reality Project, sponsored by Al Gore. There are other climate reality leaders here. Did anyone else from Utah attend?
No, we're the only folks from Utah. Someone from Colorado. But.
Okay. And there are others in town that have gone through training besides Julian. Do you guys plan to get together and confer on what your obligations are and what you're doing?
Yeah, and I think some of the folks that were trained a few years ago want to really get together to kind of revamp that that bond and to be re-energized. So
right.
Hopefully in the next few weeks we're going to meet up.
So, Bryn, how do you see this impacting what you do with Ski Butlers?
Well, that's a big question.
It is a big question, and it's a long-term question.
It's a long-term question. And it's going to affect Ski Butlers, but even more importantly, it's going to affect Park City. It's going to affect Colorado. It's going to affect Tahoe. With the snow line moving up, it's going to be more expensive to make snow to keep these resorts open. The seasons are going to be shorter. We get 25% of our revenue over the Christmas holiday break, and Christmas by 2050, might not have snow. So it is scary. You know, Miles from the town of Park City a few years ago asked a few leaders, you know, the miners never thought they wouldn't be mining in Park City. What if we don't have skiing in Park City in the future? And that was, at first it didn't hit home, but after I thought about that for a while, it's a real possibility. So these mountain communities are leaders in the country, and we need to be leaders on climate change and renewable energy. And the town of Park City needs to become even more aggressive with climate change and create a 100% renewable plan by 2040 or 2050 so that we can ski.
It all revolves around the skiing in Park City.
And there's so much more. But
yeah.
And look, I'll be honest. I'll pose the same question to you that I posed the Snow Riders International. You can educate and you can advocate all you want to your friends, to your family, to your customers, to your clients going forward. But then you can also act. You know, and acting can be, yeah, you know what, I'll make sure our lights are turned off before we go skiing, and I'll make sure the thermostat's turned down. But, you know, you can also not consume any energy. And because skiing, again, is a really carbon-intensive activity. There's no doubt. Look, your clients come from elsewhere, and they're flying in, right? The vast majority are flying in, right? And then they're renting a car, or for the most part, they're going to come up. And so what do you think about the idea of just saying, you know what, I am not going to go skiing. I'm going to be carbon free in this sense. Is that an option?
Well, I'm very positive about the future. And I think if we look at it where we can't do things, we have the technology to run the chairlifts on renewable energy. We have the technology for cars. Airplanes, I think, are further down the line. So I think we focus on using that renewable energy so that we can ski, so that we can travel.
Right.
So that I can deliver skis and Ski Butler vans that are charged at my shop at night from solar from the roof. That's what we need to do, I think.
Okay, but that's down the road. That could be years down the road, Bryn. You know, that to get that's those are big goals to get Rocky Mountain Power to come down from 80% coal down to even 60 or 50% coal. Those are big goals, and those can take time.
For sure. You know, and it's going to take some really big leadership. You know, JFK said we're going to go to the moon in the next 10 years. It took him 8 years, 2 months. So we are going to have that moonshot. But I do dream big, and I think that's what it's going to take to change. And, you know, I'm all about being a part of the solution. I think everyone that came from Al Gore's climate reality leadership was about being a part of the solution.
All right.
So with that, you know, enthusiasm and knowledge that you guys just brought back from the climate reality training, do you see yourselves making any particular changes in your personal life or professional life?
Yeah.
Well, first off, we're going to put solar on top of Ski Butler's here in Park City this
spring. Fantastic.
And hopefully we just purchased the place in Vail last week, so hopefully we can do that as well in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Next time I go to purchase a car, we're going to look at cars that run on batteries, that is for sure. You know, it's something I didn't even really consider a year ago. But the choices are much better now.
You know, in our future home, you know, put solar panels up. Purchase items that are more water efficient also. You know, it seems so daunting, but like sometimes the little things, you know, they do make a difference. And if I can't go around preaching to people that they should be doing X, Y, and Z if I personally am not doing X, Y, and Z. So it's really important for us to be doing our part, and I feel like we are. You know, the hardest things in life are usually the best things in life. You know, and if there's a challenge there, let's take that challenge on. We're a generation of you want to challenge us? Well, fine. We're going to come back at you and push harder. And I think that's what we need to do.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the 10 acts of leadership.
Yeah.
What are they? What do they involve?
One of them is right here.
Right.
This is coming on the radio.
Sure.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Presentations.
Okay.
Letters to the editors.
Okay.
Letters to, you know, your government leadership. Writing notes to the EPA, you know, was it yesterday? Was the final comments day for the EPA for making changes? Just little things like that are really important. So anything you can do to get your voice heard and is an act of leadership.
And motivate.
Yeah, and motivate, yeah.
And I got one other for you. You can get involved in the Summit Community Power Works group. I'll give you information on that.
All right.
Sounds great. Forward. You can't say no. You're on air.
That's an important act of leadership. No, but again, it's you're right. You can educate. You guys have to educate and you have to be advocates of this, but you have to act. And like you say, Jackie, if you don't act, you don't set the example. You've got to be the example.
Yeah.
And if the example means that, you know, I've really got here's where I really consume energy. Here's where I really consume coal, oil, natural gas, and I've got to address that. You've got to understand how you consume it. And our biggest consumption here is in the form of, we've talked about hot tubs and heat tape and dryers and all things. And these things run overtime during the winter. So there's an opportunity, perhaps when clients or customers come in to the store or you're delivering product to them, that maybe you have a brochure or some type of handout that's not too needling or so, that compels them to recognize those things.
And that's a great point. At Ski Butler's, we've committed to some acts of leadership prior to going to the climate reality to educate our customers, our team members, and our partners on climate change. So
yeah.
Our customers will be receiving some info.
Okay, whether they like it or not—that's the idea. Okay, so what? Oh, you know what? I had a question from a listener. They said, "Why did you have to go to Rio? Why couldn't you just Skype it, or can it be done online? Is that an option?
You need to go to where they're having it, and I think the biggest reason is to go and be a part of it and share stories at night.
Okay.
And build these connections that you can carry forward.
Okay, that's an important aspect of it. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of team building.
Yeah. And then you have connections, international connections going forward.
So what they do is they group, what was it, about 20 of us together, 25 of us together in each group. Mm-hmm. And then they give us a mentor. So somebody that has gone to leadership previous years. And then they group us together. You experience the whole thing with your group as a whole. And then they keep you connected throughout. So we have a mentor. His name is Eric. And he's from Orange County, and he is constantly emailing us updates and keeping us talking and keeping us together. Some of the people from the group are from Colorado. We got San Francisco, and then we had a few people in there from Brazil, from Sao Paulo, from mm-hmm. Rio. So it's a great way to team build. It's a great way to share ideas and to connect you to others.
Right. And again, that's why you need to be there mm-hmm. physically versus just doing it via online, an 8-hour online presentation or something like that. Okay. So how do people learn more about this if they're involved? Website?
I think Climate Reality Project is a great one to go to. Protect Our Winners by Jeremy Jones is another great project. And the Solutions Project is also a very great tool to use, and it shows how Utah itself can go renewable.
Solutions Project.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat website.
Okay.
So before we let you guys go, we have a comment from a listener. It says, thanks for the show airing now. I must agree, think globally, act locally, but we must also participate in the democratic process, kind of speaking to what you were just saying, begin to change the laws. That will only happen if we group together. Thanks from Doug Heber.
Right. Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Thanks. That well said.
Yeah, these grassroots movements are really, really important.
Oh, they've made a huge difference.
Yeah.
We look at just a few years ago, there was not many of these movements, whether it's Moms for Clean Air or Physicians for Clean Air or other clean air groups, they weren't even around when back in just 5 or 6 years ago. And now not only are they there, they have a presence and they're making a difference with respect to their missions. In that case, air quality. So we can see the grassroots efforts are important.
Our voices are being heard, and I feel like it's important to let other people know that your voice can be heard too. It's not just people who have attended these leadership programs. Like, you can join with us just and do it together. I mean, we can be heard at this point, and we are being heard.
All right.
Fantastic.
Well, we look forward to more of your acts of leadership, whether it's coming back on here in 5 or 6 months to give us an update on what you're doing.
Well, I'll be presenting at the Park City Lodging Association tomorrow at noon.
What?
So,
perfect.
Tell us about the Park City Lodging Association. Okay.
And is that open to the public?
It is not open
just
to the public.
Members.
Just members, yeah.
But that's a big group.
It's a big group, and it's an influential group. And, you know, if we can come together, the business leaders here, and get solar and start getting that renewable energy, it will make a big impact.
So what is your talk going to focus on?
Well, it's hard to focus it down on one thing because there's so much, but a lot of it has to do with the snow, some of the science of climate change, and then really the calls to action. Like, here are three things you can go do to make a difference.
Like, awesome. Turn off your hot tub.
It's true.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's
those are small things that
No. No, Brent. That's a big thing.
No, they're big.
They are tremendous consumers of energy. And
Chris
they
is
run,
speaking from personal experience.
I have my own personal crusade. Yeah. They are tremendous consumers of energy. And they run 24 hours a day to heat a giant tub of water to 100 degrees mm-hmm. outdoors. Okay? And so if you're not using it, turn it off, turn it down.
And that's part of my second slide where deepen your commitment, and it's where you can make these changes.
No. Okay.
Yes.
Listen to the show, and you'll probably, Mel will probably go bananas if I mention this anymore.
You know, also, I forgot to mention, if you did want a presentation done by myself and Bryn, you can go on the Climate Reality Project's website, and you can actually request a presentation by us.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
Fantastic. Really so cool. You get just not one of you, both of you.
You can get both of us. Or just Brian, because like he's great. Right.
I prefer both of you. And maybe another thing, you can give us a presentation to Summit County Power Works at some time. We'll arrange that.
Yeah, too. We'd be happy to.
Okay. All right. Jackie and Brian Carey, owners, operators of Ski Butlers here in town and elsewhere around the Mountain West. Just come back from climate reality training. Thanks again so much for sharing your experience.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Let's take a break or so for some underwriters when we come back. Maybe a news item, but it's pretty much time to wrap
news
up.
Yes, highlight.
It's this Green Earth. Stay tuned.
This is Dana Edwards on behalf of Vail Resorts and Cannons Resort supporting KPCW. This year, we developed partnerships with 25 local nonprofits to support programs like the fourth grade program at Swanner Preserve and Eco Center. Every fourth grader in Summit County will experience Utah's ecosystem firsthand and see science come to life through infield classes. Thanks to Swanner for making science cool.
Hi, I'm Maren Mullen, and I'm a Recycle Utah board member. Did you know that water conservation is what we're really all about? And you thought it was only recycling. We save your H2O. How? By encouraging you to recycle more, by teaching our students how to conserve water, and by making it possible for you to drop off hazardous waste at our collection events. Yep, we're all about saving your water, because we can't live without it. Recycle Utah is a nonprofit organization bringing conservation ideas to you since 1990. Check us out at recycleutah.org.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Longrimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning Family Law, lrw-law.com. Park City Nursery. We know what grows. ParkCityNursery.com. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. Talk show on environmental issues, concepts of sustainability, and we're about out of time. Time to wrap things up.
That's right.
Really interesting show.
Yeah, all about snow and kind of how that impacts our mountain community, which we like to hear.
And again, we have a storm coming.
Yeah.
And right now, the forecast is all rain.
Oh, starting cross tonight, your fingers for snow.
The high temperatures, the temperatures are supposed to be up in the 40s. The upper 40s on Thursday, 50 with rain. This is December, what? It'll be December 3rd or 4th. It's not supposed to happen, but it is happening.
I don't like it one bit.
Okay, so thanks to the Snow Riders International, Julian Carr and Phil Huffelt for sharing their information.
I have to say to our listeners, if you go Google Julian Carr's name, you can like watch him huck himself off a 210-foot cliff, record-setting professional athlete.
That's a carbon-free.
Yeah, exactly.
Adventure.
I think he hiked himself up there, too.
Thanks to them. And also thanks to Jackie and Brian Carey for coming on and from the Ski Butlers to talk about their recent trip and experience with the Climate Reality Project. They're now climate reality trainers. And that's really interesting that he's giving a talk tomorrow at the Park City Lodging Association. If you're a member of that, try to do what you can to make it to that event.
Yeah, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, let's thank our underwriters for whom this show is possible. They include
Recycle Utah,
Republic Services,
Vail Resorts,
Rocky Mountain Power,
San Francisco Design,
and Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
And you can also, of course, join us on our Facebook page, which is KPCW This Green Earth. And we encourage you to post your comments or questions or suggestions for further shows. We want to talk about the things that you want to hear about, so let us know what those things are.
All right. And in a couple weeks, we've got a great guest coming up. I'm about to tell you who it is, Nell. Dan Fagan. He's the author of a book called Tom's River. It's a story of a chemical manufacturing plant that comes to New Jersey and back in the 60s and 70s and pretty much fouls the air, the water, the land, and brings jobs, as always, right? That economic environmental balance that goes on and the impacts that come to the town and the potential cancer clusters that result. It's a Pulitzer Prize winning book by Dan Fagan. That's on Tuesday the 16th.
Perfect.
Join us then. Remember, this is KPCW 91.9 FM, Park City.
Only in Park City, only on KPCW.
Thanks again. NPR News is next.